Well, when she was sick, my father-in-law used to introduce this as Yellow Falcon, and he'd go down the line, Buffalo Eagle. And when he'd get to me, he'd say, "Hey, you don't have an Indian name. I'll get you one of these days." But when Mary May was sick, she said, I asked her, "Would you please give me an Indian name? Because Dad always introduced me and you don't have one." And when she was sick, she said a hummingbird would always come to see her. And she had this big picture window, and there were times she had to be helped to just sit in her comfortable chair. And one time I was asked by a relative to help them out, and they had a problem. And I was taught by my mother-in-law, if you say no, they respect you. And I would say no, but this was very important, what they were asking for. So I got upset, and I left, like a bird, the hummingbird would. You know how they pick on each other?
And they fly off.
And they fly off. And I did that. And then I came back, and I brought what that person wanted, but I brought it. I didn't give them the money or what they were asking. I brought what they were asking that would feed them. And I gave a lecture with it. I gave a lecture. And my father-in-law was watching me, and he goes, "You know what? You acted just like a hummingbird. And you're always humming." So I said, well, I laughed, and I said, "I guess I'll call Mary May and ask her if that's what my name is." So I called her up, and she said, "Yes, that is your Indian name." And I even knew how to say it in Ute, but I forgot it. Because this elderly woman from up north, when I went to a medicine wheel, she said it, and I wrote it down. In fact, she's here, and it was weird. Her relatives, her mother and father, gave my first son's cradle board. And I had never met this woman. I met her back, it was about 3 or 4 years ago when we went to a medicine wheel. And we were going to teach young adults what it was like to be married to a Sundance man, me as a woman and him as a man. And I thought we were going to go, and don't get angry at me, with white culture. I thought there was going to be nothing but white culture there. In fact, I said, "No, I don't want to go." And then I told my husband, "Well, maybe we should go, because we could teach the white culture how to respect the Indian religion. Instead of having them come over here and destroy our lives and make people angry, because they want to be and they don't follow the rules and regulations. They don't wait for it to come like we do." So I said, "Let's go." And we did. And I met this woman there, and there were young Indians. They were young Indian adults. And the white culture that was there, there were just a few of them, and they were the helpers. They helped the elderly women go out and buy their groceries. They did their cooking. They did their cleaning. And us Indians also helped. In other words, we worked as a family. And there were different tribes represented there. It wasn't just one tribe doing this and doing that. It was everybody. And I've learned that from other tribes. When I go with my father-in-law, and my husband and I are with him, or I would go by myself and help Dad drive, and my son Matthew would go with us, or James or somebody, I would learn from them too, to see how happy they would be. But I also saw how rough it was for them. And here, we don't have it. Here, it exists. That's where the understanding comes, living here in the Southwest. We have an understanding. If you step on my toe because you're angry, I'm not going to step back. Because you learn, I'm going to share with you. You hurt me, but if I see we're going to fight, I will stay away from you. I'll pray for you. That's what I'll do. And if I see we're going to fight again, then I know it's just meant not for me to be there preaching to you. It's meant for somebody else, somebody you're going to listen to. You know, that's the way you learn. Sometimes it's not me. Sometimes it's not your best friend. And then again, it could be your best friend and not your parents. To me, I always tell my children, I'm there. Your dad and I are there. And we share with each other. We share. In my family, we know everything about each other. And if the gossip starts, we let it be. I mean, it starts, it starts. We try not to let it destroy us because it's a teaching. That gossip is teaching you to believe in the truth. It's teaching you to calm down. Don't hate that person that started that talk because really, they gave their version. They misinterpreted what actually happened. You know the story, you go and sit in a circle and you tell these little one yeah. story. By the time it gets to the other side,
it's totally different.
It's different. But it's a good thing that it was a happy story. Nobody beat each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And my Indian name, Hummingbird Woman, that's going back to that. That's how I got it. And that is how we get our Indian names. And my bird helps. Whenever I'm fasting, she'll come. If I'm in danger, she'll come. And if I'm thinking of you, like Mary May said, I would constantly think of her. I'd always pray for her. I would always go see her. And that, she's my help. My husband is Yellow Falcon. And his birds are the red-tailed hawk and the falcon. And whenever I'm not with my husband, or if we're even together, we'll see his bird sitting on the telephone pole or on a pole. Or just flying, gliding around. And that's his help. And when I'm not with him, I know he's thinking of me. He's shooing the deer off the road while I'm driving. He's keeping me awake. He's making sure I'm fine. Just like a telephone call. That's what the bird does. If an Indian person's name has an animal or something special, that's what that special thing does. Your spirit will go through that image in real life, and that's what you see. I could tell you real living stuff that you can survive, but that's because I've learned and lived here. And like I tell my friends, I plan to live and die here. I'll never move. Because it's very educational. You meet a lot of people.
Yeah, you do.
And they feel good. You know, if anybody loses their house in a fire or something, everybody helps. If someone's really sick in the hospital, they all go see you, or they send you a card, or they call you. And if you say hi in the city to someone, they freak out.
Yeah, they try to avert their eyes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Here, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, and I still carry that with me. Even though I'm out in the city, I know you have to be more careful.
Yeah.
Somebody might go out and deck you or something.
Pull a knife.
But here, you know, you can feel good about it. And if someone hurts you, someone good is out there to make it good, to mend it. And that's because we have good teachings in this environment. We have the mountains. We have the herbs. We have everything that we want here, and we respect it. Like I was telling one of my friends, and because he was always saying he was white and Columbus came over and did all this. Actually, Columbus is part of my Spanish side. I don't want to be ashamed of my ancestors. That happened at that time. I am here now. I'm going to make it good. So I was telling him, we had sour grapes in all the cultures, all of them, Indian, Spanish, your culture, European, the different races that came, they all had the bad kings. Mm-hmm. But the good kings brought us to where we are now. And that's what we should concentrate on. So be proud of it. Be thankful we have the right, because if we were, oh gosh, where's the part where everybody's killing each other? South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa.
I saw a movie. I was telling Junior, my husband, oh gosh, what if the world actually becomes like that in the year 2000? Because our ancestors keep reminding us and warning us, we gotta get our act together. We don't get our act together, it is going to be like that everywhere in the world. But it can be stopped, because look at Hitler's time.
Yeah.
The mafia time. The time was supposed to end then. I mean, if you really did your history and your religion side, put them together, it was supposed to end then. But it didn't. Because your great ancestors and my grandparents got their act together. They started following what they're supposed to do. And we're here. We're alive. We're enjoying the freedom. They stopped killing each other. But it's coming back again. It's coming back again. And we have to stop the ugly side. And like these things that we're experiencing with the preachers and that. Well, gosh, if you really dwell on what they've done wrong, it'll prevent you from going to what source you're supposed to do to make your contact. And you shouldn't do that. That's why I say I stick to my guns and what I've been taught. And I will not judge that person. I mean, that person, I'll pray for them. I'll even fast for them. So they can come out of what they're going through. Even if you're an alcoholic. Because my mother-in-law taught me, whether you're sober or you're an alcoholic, you're the same. The difference between the two of you is the alcoholic is sick. You're not. You're the one that knows what you're thinking, because you have no chemicals in your system. And that's where you have to really be in control and use what you've been taught. That's good. I'm ready.
Okay, so we'll rant in. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.